It is a Tag Team Thursday here on Sportsline. Brett Hollander and the Missile Kadri Ismail, the voice of the Ravens, Jerry Sandusky, stopping by. See you later, Jer. I'm sure off to prep more for the Ravens and Redskins simulcast on Thursday. But a very special in-studio guest. I think we have a cue if we can get his headphones set up here. A very special in-studio guest, as I was saying, none other than the head football coach at Towson University, Mr. Rob Ambrose. Coach, thanks for coming in again.
Thanks for having me, man.
Well, tell me about life post-making a national championship for you, the program, this entire off-season into now the start of a new season.
Hey, it's almost like living in a different planet. It really is.
Really?
The school, the community, the kids, the recruiting. I think I've said this about a million times ever since this was, you know, this ended, that our success nationally last year, it did two major things. One, it shined a huge spotlight on everything Towson. And that all of a sudden, what I've known since I was a student, we have a great education. We have a great college experience. We have a great campus. Everybody comes to campus like, wow, this is so nice. I had no idea. Well, with our success now, everybody knows. Everybody knows where Towson is. Everybody knows how to say it, spell it, which is a new
thing. So it's not Towson.
And you hear them all now. Towson. I heard Towson.
Towson.
Well, you know, get the
We had someone on the way to the national championship mispronounce an ESPN sportscaster, play-by-play guy. Man.
Sadly. Yes. Anishroff. Yeah, I called him out. We know each other well.
But the other thing it did, and this is an unseen benefit that is truly awesome, and a lot of schools get this all the time, is that, you know, a lot of colleges, when you go to school, you get your degree, you got your friends and everything, but you leave and you go start your life, you go get your job, you go start a family, have kids, and you don't always have a reason to reconnect. And what this did for tens, hundreds of thousands of alums is gave them a reason to go reach out to old college buddies, old friends, and go, hey, you watching this? We're on national TV. We're kicking people's butt. This is awesome. Hmm. And all of a sudden, our alumni base is excited and more tied together, more like a family. And if that doesn't, like, kind of get the hair on the back of your neck to stand up and that you're part of something that cool, I don't know what does.
When you look at, you know, the X's and O's of it all, what made last year so successful for your team? What can you, you know, bottle and keep and say, okay, if we can, you know, repeat these things, it's going to help me get across to these young men how to sustain winning? Because I think that's the hardest thing, you know, in football. It's one thing to climb up to the top, right, and that's a journey unto itself. But that sustaining of winning, not very many people can do that.
No, it's truly rare. And with the success that we had last year, you really have to go back in time. It's been a process. That I said that there's a number of guys in a 5 and 6 year period that did not have a lot of wins attached to their name that are responsible for this, that helped build and change a culture where everything became important. And what we had was a bunch of guys who learned to sacrifice for each other. They went through we went through a 1-10 season. And while we went through a 1-10 season, we were actually getting better, but we weren't winning. We weren't finishing the little things. And in 2011, we did that. We started finishing the little things and made it to the playoffs for the first time in Division I history. And that was really exciting. But there's so many lessons from where we came from to where we are now. We had to learn how to, you know, when you're losing, you have to learn to tune out all the people that tell you you're terrible, which is kind of easy once you get used to it. But the real one that was more difficult that I didn't see coming was that you had to tune out the people that were telling you how great you were once you finally started winning.
Right.
And that young men, you know, love to get patted on the back. And all of a sudden, that's all they paid attention to instead of the work that got them that kind of success and respect. So we had to grind and grow through all of that. I can tell you that specifically the one thing that is missed, the one thing that you're going to need, and you can ask any major coach in America who's worth his salt, is going to tell you that great line play is the difference between winning and losing.
Yeah.
And in the long run. And to be able to consistently build lines on both sides of the ball, and offensively we did that for 3 years. We had some of the best offensive line. We had the best offensive line group we had in a very, very long time, and that's saying something because there's some really great offensive linemen that played at this school. But to have those guys play together for so long, to lose, to figure out how to grow together, to sacrifice and win, and then just keep doing it like a steamroller, that's the key. That's truly the key.
When you look at your team, you had some superstars. I had an opportunity to do a CAA game. I did your Towson-Richmond game. And, you know, it really impressed me how I went out to practice. You referenced your offensive line. I mean, they came out, and it was all just straight-up business. I mean, them dudes, first line, second line, third line, I mean, them dudes were just rolling. and it looked like a machine. And then you had your superstar players a la Terrence West, who it didn't seem as though he was like, yeah, I'm Terrence West, look at me. How do you keep that focus? Because obviously, you know, you're with an offensive line and you kind of have your buddies and it's a different kind of a mentality. But when you're playing at the successful level that you're playing at, sometimes guys can get a little bit ahead of themselves. How do you manage that?
I'll tell you flat out, it's not easy. It's not. And anybody who's had the opportunity to work with 18 to 22-year-old young men, and well, let's just take a look in the mirror and flash back to our lives when we were 18 to 22, because we all made the best decisions we've ever made in our life at that time. So it truly is a challenge. And I should say that if I would, instead of an English degree, I'd probably have been better served with a psychology degree. Thank God I married a mental health therapist. That kind of helps. But, every kid is different, and you try to keep them focused on what is important. We start in the recruiting process of how we refer to their successes and the respect that they've garnered for themselves, and trying to stay true to that. Stay true to the work ethic. Be humble, but be hungry. I don't know, I steal a little bit from Under Armour, but that's true. Humble and hungry is part of who we are all the time. And if you can hold on to that, if you don't stray too far from that, you got a chance.
You have a lot of enthusiasm in you. I think it's infectious when I see your coaches and how you guys go out there and really it's a fast-paced moving practice. How has it been this year? I know you lost a lot of guys, but how has it been this year kind of getting that mentality of playing fast and physical and that hungry and humble mentality? How's it been as far as heading into this season?
And this is one of the, every year has its own entity, its own chemistry. Every team's different. And defensively, we are that. That they've piggybacked off the success of the offense. We've been pretty good defensively, but we got a chance to be really good. And we didn't lose that many guys. And the guys that we did, while we'll miss them, we have guys that can step in and do quite well. So they are hungry to make a statement. It more like they want to carry the load this time around. And offensively, we're just so young. I mean, it's very rare that you graduate or lose 9 of 11 starters. That's just and all of them are either, most of them are All-Americans, All-Conference, or playing in the NFL. I mean, it's part of the reason we've been so successful. So having these young guys come in, and they understood the legacy that was left them, and they're trying desperately to reach that, to hold on to that bar. But as with youth comes distraction and difficulty and physical difficulty. Some of these guys just haven't been in the war, and so therefore their bodies aren't prepared for it. And we're doing our best to get them there. But I'm glad we're playing an out-of-conference schedule first before we get into league play. It's going to give us a chance to get our young guys' feet wet and get them in the land of physical fast.
Rob Ambrose with us here on WBAL. Rob, everyone's talking about that rookie offensive player for the Cleveland Browns. Of course, we're talking about Terrence West. Have you heard from Terrence at all?
I have. We've kept in touch a little bit, but anybody who's played professional football knows that in this time of year, the focus is single. It is laser. It is about, for guys like Terrence trying to win a spot. And there's not much time for social
interaction.
He knows I'm busy. I know he's busy. We're both working pretty hard for a same goal, but he's doing quite well.
We'll ask about how to replace those yards when we come back, and some other big holes, theoretically, on the offensive side of the ball and the future of Towson football here in the 2014 campaign as we continue with the head coach of the Tigers, Rob Ambrose, here on WBAL.